have to thank Robbie this morning for switching with me a couple of weeks ago, as we've been traveling a little bit on the weekends quite often, and he was able to switch with me, and so that we could be gone, and I appreciate that. If you would, this morning, let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9. We'll take our lesson kind of from there and a couple other places today, but Deuteronomy chapter 9, and at this point in time, we're going to read this scripture from Deuteronomy, and then we're going to turn over to Exodus and kind of read a similar account. But this is Moses' recollection or description of the events that happened kind of on Mount Sinai, and then as he came down from Mount Sinai. We remember that Moses went up into Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments and instructions from God, and then that while he was up there, the children of Israel down below had turned against God and got Aaron, Moses' brother, to build them a molten calf to worship. And so we're going to begin in Deuteronomy 9, verse 9, and we're going to read down through verse 21. It says, this is Moses speaking. He says, "When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord had made with you, then I remained on the mountain 40 days and nights, and I neither ate bread nor drank water. And the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone written by the finger of God, and on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken with you at the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. And it came about at the end of 40 days and nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. And then the Lord said to me, 'Arise, go down from here quickly, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them, and they have made a molten image for themselves.' And the Lord spoke further to me, saying, 'I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stubborn people. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they.' So I turned and came down from the mountain while the mountain was burning with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I saw that you had indeed sinned against the Lord your God. You had made for yourselves a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took hold of the two tablets and threw them from my hands and smashed them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and nights. And I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was wrathful against you in order to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me that time also. And the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. So I also prayed for Aaron at the same time. And I took your sinful thing, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it, grinding it very small until it was as fine as dust. And I threw its dust into the brook that came down from the mountain." So let's turn back to Exodus chapter 32. And we'll read kind of an account of the same events. Exodus chapter 32. Verse 7 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go down at once, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves.'" And if we go down to verses 15 through 19, we read about what happened there. It says, "Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets which were written on both sides. They're written on one side and the other. The tablets were God's work." That's something that I want us to remember for later. "The tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. Now when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, 'There's a sound of war in the camp.' But he said, 'It is not the sound of the cry of triumph, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of song, of singing I hear.' And it came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain." God had given Moses the tablets of the law on stone. But even as God had given the people this great gift and made the Israelites his own special people, you know, if you think about it, no other people were given these promises. No other people were given these laws, this special relationship with God that the Israelites had, no one else had. But at the very moment that God had done this for the people and given them this, the law and the tablets, they sinned against him and made another molten image or man-made God to worship. And Moses, when he came down from the mountain, was so angry that he threw the tablets and smashed them into pieces. The tablets that were the work of God. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 10 now. And we're just going to look at the first four verses. And it says, at that time the Lord said to me, cut out for yourselves two tablets of stone like the former ones, and come up to me on the mountain, and make an ark of wood for yourself. I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets, which you shattered, and you shall put them in the ark. So I made an ark of acacia wood and cut out two tablets of stone like the former ones, and went up on the mountain with the two tablets in my hand. And he wrote on the tablets like the former writing, the Ten Commandments which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. So we see here God gave the people another copy of the law. But Moses had to work for this copy. We notice in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, cut for yourself two tablets of stone. Moses had to go cut those tablets out of rock, which would not have been an easy thing to do. He didn't have to do that with the previous tablets. God had made all of those things for him. Make for yourself an ark of wood was the instruction. Moses had to go and he had to get a acacia wood and he had to cut down the tree, and I'm sure that he had to fashion this the ark on his own. There was work involved. Even though God was giving them the Ten Commandments again, this time it required work on the part of the people. God gave the people a second chance, but there was work that had to be done. If we think about this, even when God gave food or manna from heaven to the people, there was work to be done. Let's go to Numbers, back to Numbers, and read about that. Numbers chapter 11, and we'll look at verses 7 through 9. The description of the manna that God gave the people from heaven says, now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of bdellium. The people would go out and about and gather it, and grind it between two millstones, or beat it in the mortar, and boil it in the pot, and make cakes with it. And its taste was as the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. So manna just came down as dew on the ground from heaven, but the people still had to go out. And we see they had to gather it, and that would have been quite a bit of work. Especially depending upon the size of the family. If the family was large, they had to grind it between two millstones. That would not be easy. They could beat it into mortar. That would not be an easy thing. And they would have to boil it. So they at least had to cook. And cooking is not all that easy. It takes time. There's effort involved. So even manna from heaven required work on the part of the people. If we think about these two things that we've talked about this morning, God gave them the gift of life. He gave them food, but they had work to do with that food or for that food. God has given us a second chance, just like He did the Israelites with the law. God has given us the gift of life, just like the manna, but we have work to do as well. He has given us these things, but we must, on our part, take them. We must follow His instructions and word. We must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. You see, God's gift of life requires action. Just like Moses had to go and cut out of stone and two tablets, and he had to build the ark of wood. There are things that we have to do, and the scriptures tell us that we must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. God required work from the people because of sin. Right? Moses smashed the tablets because he was angry because of the people's sin at the bottom of the mountain. He requires work from us as well. We must be baptized. We must worship God. It is a requirement. The things that we do this morning here in service are things that we read about in the Bible, especially through the remembrance of the Lord's Supper. But we must continually work on ourselves as well. We must work on our actions. We must work on our attitude. We must work on our character. There are things that come up and challenges that come up for each and every individual one of us, decisions that must be made. A lot of times we focus that concept on young people, but that continues on through the rest of your life. And we must work to follow God and to keep the commitment that we make to Him. And of course, we must work also to help others. We must help others through kindness and hospitality in our life. We must help others by living as an example to others and those in the world about us as the kind of people that we need to be as Christians. And of course, we can help others by bringing them to the Lord as well, which would be the greatest thing that we could do for another person. Even though God has given us these gifts, and this gift especially, the opportunity to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins and the hope of an eternal life, there are still things that we have to do in order to reap those benefits. And so in closing, I'll reread what Jacob read for us this morning from John chapter 4, verses 34 through 38. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." Even Jesus had work to do, didn't He? "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." We understand the concept of the harvest. Many of us have, and not too many weeks ago, finished harvesting our hay crop for the year. Those fields don't harvest themselves. If you leave your crop in the field past the time that it's ready for harvest, it loses a great deal of its value, if not eventually all, doesn't it? It requires labor to go out and to harvest those fields, and a lot of times a great deal of labor. There's work to be done. We have work that we have to do in our own lives, work on ourselves and work for others. But of course, after the harvest, there's a time of rejoicing, a time of feasting, a time of celebration, and eventually a time of rest. And of course, the harvest and the work that we do is our life, and what our goal is, an eternal rejoicing and an eternal rest with God in heaven later. So hopefully these things that we've talked about today are things that can give us inspiration and help us to make these choices and to do the work that we need to do in order to achieve those goals. If there's anything that we can do for anyone this morning to help you in any way, please come forward and let us know as we sing.